Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Today, I want to share a special conversation with a dear friend and colleague who went home to be with the Lord just a couple of months ago, Dr. Gregory Jantz. Greg was a pioneering voice in mental health care and the founder of The Center, a place of hope in Edmonds, Washington, recognized as one of the nation's top facilities for treating depression. He was a devoted husband of over 40 years to his wife, LaFawn, a proud father of two sons. As a clinical counselor and author and pioneer of whole person care, Greg dedicated his life to helping thousands across the globe find real hope and healing. Here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we had the privilege of partnering with Greg and the Center in many ways, including our workbook, Hope and Healing for Depression. On today's program, Greg and I are going to talk about depression and its impact on millions of people, the signs and symptoms, and what steps you can take if you feel stuck. Most importantly, you're going to hear a message of hope. This being Suicide Prevention Month, if you or someone you love is struggling, remember, you can always dial 988. 988, that's the Suicide Prevention Hotline. You can also, if it makes sense to you, visit ChristianCareConnect.com. That's ChristianCareConnect.com to find a Christ-centered therapist, counselor near you. Greg is going to be deeply missed by me and so many in our field, but his legacy lives on through his words and his work. Listen now to our conversation together. Hey, let's get started. Dr. Jantz, thank you so much for joining us.
Very good to be with you.
Greg, want to shine a light on depression? I guess we could start out this way. Everybody gets the blues, sometimes, as the old song says. But yeah. Depression is of a different nature, Greg. It goes to a different place. Let's just start out by talking about what is clinical depression and how do I know if I'm spinning into that kind of dark place.
Excellent question. Of course, we know we're in a season where we're seeing more of a deeper depression than what we've seen in a long time. And I'm going to say it's a part of our mental health crisis epidemic. So if you're struggling with depression, it is something that is on the increase. It's something that's maybe you've tried to do some things and you go, man, I'm still waking up. I'm not functioning my best and I'm having trouble concentrating. My sleep is affected. I may have zero motivation. Things that used to give me joy are not giving me joy. I may have tried many different things and I go, man, I am still struggling. So depression is very real. And most people who are struggling, they've tried a lot of different things and they're at a point of great frustration. And if you live with somebody who's been struggling, you know what that's like as well.
So, Greg, we're talking about loss of interest, maybe energy around things like it's tough getting up, getting going. I've been through those kind of phases in my life, Greg, where, you know, I just felt like there was like a weight on me, you know, that and it was just tough to get going. But people who are depressed also maybe have changes in their eating or sleeping habits, maybe sleeping too much or not sleeping at all. Same thing with eating habits. This persistent feeling of sadness that's over, like there's a cloud. It's just like there's a heaviness. Some people describe it as a wet blanket. Mm-hmm. Greg, I know in our modern day vernacular, we talk about, you know, hey, I feel a little depressed, et cetera. But depression is real. It's substantive. And you begin to then look at patterns here, don't you? So it's not just, am I having a bad day?
Right.
Greg, we're looking at maybe over a two-week period. Are you seeing this happen, right?
And then it's continuing, and maybe suddenly several months have passed, and you go, wow, I don't think I'm getting better. Now, the danger with depression that is untreated, so to speak, is it can lead us down a path of despondency, a path of despair, and our thinking gets more and more disconnected from reality. And so this is the time, if you've been struggling, this is the time today to make a decision. Boy, I'm going to gather more information. I'm going to find out, what are my options?
Well, Greg, I want to help bring a lot of that to light in today's broadcast. So, hey, listen, turn this up. If you or someone you love is struggling with what you think are feelings or thoughts of depression, experiences related to that, this is for you, seriously. And it's important that we address these kind of issues. We're not going to get anywhere if we don't talk about them. Greg, let's go a little deeper into this. I don't think people understand there are different types of depression. Typically, people talk about major depression. It's like, hey, I'm stuck. This has been going on a while, and I'm in a real rut, and I'm in trouble, and I see it. Okay, I see those patterns. But Greg, we often hear people talking about bipolar depression.
Right.
There's also a word called dysthymia or cyclothymia. Let's just kind of unpack some of those, because people understand there are different types and there are different patterns associated with those types that are real, they're persistent, and they really are. They can be debilitating.
Well, Dr. Tim, let's look at this on a continuum. There's the mild, and you mentioned dysthymia. That's kind of maybe the common cold. It happens and a season passes and now you're okay. Or it progresses on that mild to medium, and now you're having some significant daily struggles and you realize it's not getting better. This is where we might start to entertain the option of, well, if I just had a little alcohol, or if I pop another pill. We start to look for escapism because we want to, I call it mood modulate. We want to change how we're feeling. Things are not going well. And sometimes we choose some things that are self-destructive. Other times you go, well, I don't have any energy. I'm not feeling well. And then you drink 12 cups of coffee and then you're doing worse. So this is where we look for really some self-destructive patterns that can, we understand how we make those choices, but they end up not being helpful.
So dysthymia, Greg, would then be a version of depression that is not like major depression where there's a heavy heaviness for 2 weeks or more, and those symptoms we talked about earlier. This is kind of more of a milder form of it, but it's real.
And we may all have periods like that, and that's the key, is it's a short period. And you realize, hey, I'm doing better, and you're able to make good decisions. You go, well, you know what? I need to change my diet a little bit. I need to improve my exercise. I need to renew my mind. And you have the capacity to do those things when it's dysthymia.
Now, people also can experience what we know as bipolar, or the cycling in depression, where I'll have periods of feeling really down, low, in the dumps, I'm stuck. It counters with these real high episodes where I feel like I can conquer the moon. I can I can do anything. And people go on spending sprees. They'll go all kinds of, just all over the map. It's like this hyper energy stuff that's starting to show up that doesn't, you can tell you're out of control with it, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's the depths of despair, and it is, it feels like despair, and it can be pretty deep. And then a little time passes, and suddenly you are moving at a rapid pace. You have a lot of energy. You feel like, man, I don't need any sleep. You feel extremely creative. And by the way, some of our best
on top of the world, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. But some of our best creatives do produce a lot in this manic phase. And so, you know, but you can't live there, and you will eventually crash. You might be you mentioned it already, but you might be impulsive. You might find yourself doing more risky behaviors because you are on top of the world and you can't believe the energy you have. Of course, it's all a false energy, and our thinking does disconnect from reality. You almost feel sometimes like I'm invincible. I can do anything right now.
And Greg, you said what will happen is you're eventually going to crash. So this thing, it actually cycles itself. You're going to crash and burn out. And some of the challenge here is maybe there's, and we're going to talk about etiology. Where does depression come from? What are the sources of depression? But it could be that some brain function here has got you going all over the place. And you're experiencing these things because of that very thing, Greg, right?
Oh, absolutely. We always want to look at what's going on in our chemistries or physiology. You know, one of the things we want to, well, what's my vitamin D level in my blood? What is my thyroid function? Do I have a thyroid that's hyper or hypothyroid? Is there other things going on that in my body that kind of aid to trigger these episodes?
Cyclothymia would be a milder version of that kind of bipolar the word that we use.
Yes.
Greg, and that's where you're seeing the cycling. It may not be as intense, maybe not as extreme, but you notice that you're having periods where you're feeling like you're struggling with depression, that sadness, that loss of energy, et cetera. And then it counters with the like burst of energy, and you're seeing this flighty stuff that you got going on. And again, it's real. It's powerful. By the way, it can be debilitating too.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, it's the highs are not as high, the lows are not as low. But what we're looking for, it's a pattern. So you see a pattern of this, and you go, I know I'm not balanced. And you don't always know what to do with that. And that's sometimes part of the struggle. I feel like I've been living this way a long time, and this is just the way I am.
Greg, I want to jump into this whole piece on the sources of depression. I wrote down in my own notes, brain function. We can start there. We'll add genetics. We'll add life events. We'll add medical. You can have issues like postpartum type things, or maybe something even like Parkinson's, which can be a real contributor, or a thyroid that's not working well. But Greg, take us down that road. You had the clinic up there. You're one of the top 10 treatment facilities in the country for clinical depression. What do you see, Greg? And you guys use a very broad, like collaborative care model where you're looking at everything, every facet of a person's life. What are some of the most common sources of clinical depression for someone?
Yes. So we always want to look at the whole person. So we're going to look at the physical side, which would be the medical. What's going on in your blood? Is there hormonal issues that are a factor? Is there even sometimes we'll see that there's digestion, there's brain chemistry. What is going on in the physiology to help us understand? Now, I'm not saying it's all that, but we need to cover that base and know, okay, that could be a major contributor. Again, you mentioned low thyroid. If I have low thyroid, I'm going to be depressed and anxious. It's just a part of that. So, but we also want to dig even deeper. Sometimes the area of unresolved trauma in a person's life, there could have been early childhood abuse or multiple early childhood losses, but significant trauma. And you're struggling because those issues have not ever been dealt with. And eventually it's going to come out, depression, anxiety. And so we look at trauma as a toxicity in our emotions as well as our relationships. So that's another area that we need to address.
You know, an area that's really helped bring a lot of light to this, Greg, has been this whole issue of pregnancy and hormones for women. When we talk about prenatal and we talk about postpartum depression, this starts to make sense. Something's happening here. There's some biology connected to all this. And by the way, it can really throw a woman, into chaos.
Absolutely. And that's why we say, look, some people go, well, it's all in your head. Come on. What is it that you're not doing? And so there can be a self-blame and you can feel sometimes judgment from others. It's a struggle. Now, so when we look at postmenopausal as well, there's reasons for what's going on. It's not all in your head.
Greg, seasonal affective disorder, I guess we could add to this conversation because, again, it begins to help people kind of calm down when they start thinking about depression isn't just, you know, out of nowhere. There are a lot of contributing factors, as you were saying. Talk about SAD and how that is a real issue, too. Because again, people, I have found when you get this level of conversation going, people begin to look at depression very differently, which by the way, then impacts how they think about the road forward. If I'm going to get help, what I might really need to do to get help. Greg, I go to the scriptures just for a moment. I think about why is my soul cast down? The psalmist cried out. And then he said, hope thou in God. I guess hopelessness, or by the way, living in an environment where you've been put down your whole life, or maybe you've experienced a lot of trauma, loss, or what have you, can become a real weightedness in your life. And you can actually begin to lose hope. And you can begin to feel this persistent sadness, this overwhelming sense of heaviness in your life, Greg. And if you and if you live in that lane, patterns can begin to erupt, and it can actually impact the what we call are the neuropathways in your own brain and how your brain then functions. Greg, this stuff, this dynamic begins to really work together, and you can see why people then feel stuck and they feel like they can't get out from underneath this heaviness or this darkness that's starting to take over their lives.
Yes, and it, maybe it feels like it's been chronic in your life, and no matter what I've done, it's not going away. And you know, and you read the scriptures and you go, okay, what is going on? But I'm reminded that hope, we feel a sense of hope when we have a plan. Sometimes we need an intervention of sorts to help us create, what's my plan? And plans change, but I want to know, okay, what's my whole person plan? What do I really need to be looking at? And then there's really the prayer for wisdom. Lord God, show me in this big puzzle of depression. I've done a lot of things, but there's still some missing pieces. What are those that need attention?
I think about people living in homes where the way they coped with issues was pretty adverse or lacking strength, Greg, and you begin to take on those same patterns on how you do life. And then if you look at some of the research, if you're caught up in a relationship with someone who is pretty hurtful to you in whatever way, just say emotionally putting you down all the time, or you don't feel loved in that relationship, it can be a real adverse impact to you personally. And so then you're carrying all that weightedness around. Greg, again, these patterns, and I'm wanting people to hear this, because a lot of people, my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah, they know things aren't right. They know that they're not doing well. They can see their own energies leaving their body, if you will, and they don't have a lot of joy in life. And no matter how hard they try, or maybe how they cry out and ask God for help, it's just constantly coming at them. I talked to a pastor one time, and he told me, he said, Tim, our problem isn't at church. He said, we can really bring, you know, some spiritual vitality and experience at church that lifts people up, that encourages them. Our problem is when they go home. What he was really meaning by that is when they go back into their patterns, their ruts, and the influence they're having in their lives, they don't realize the weightedness again of all of that and how it just pulls them down and just sucks the life out of them, Greg. Those are the things that we're trying to really take a look at here and be honest about. And because when you, again, see them, you can then begin to adjust and get into a new pattern to bring life back into your body, back into your bones, if you will.
Boy, I really like what you've just shared, because life can come back in the bones. And part of losing hope is if we begin to really tell ourselves the lie of depression, that is, it'll never get better. This is the way I am. This is what I deserve. So watch for that self-talk that really you're projecting that you're stuck. But you know what? God does have plans for us. There is hope, and there is a future. We may need help discovering what that plan is, but let's not give up.
People often, tongue-in-cheek, say, hey, listen, I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have our modern-day counselors, yuck, 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 yuck. You know what? If you go back and even look at the scripture, Greg, a lot of people in scripture wrestled with that kind of darkness. In their own spirit, because they felt just like overwhelmed by life. As you've studied depression, Greg, as you've looked at God's word and more, what's a word that you offer to us all to help us understand?
Well, one of the words that come to my mind is 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, so there's the fear piece, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we need to look at, okay, what are the ingredients to a sound mind? If I've been suffering from depression for a long time, part of what I need to look at, is there unforgiveness in my life, or is there unforgiveness for myself? What could be quietly sabotaging my sound mind? So look at all the ingredients that create a sound mind. And that's why I say we pray for wisdom. We pray for wisdom that we'll see and know those missing pieces to the puzzle. But I do believe that there are tools, sound, that can give us a sound mind.
Greg, let's talk medication here for a moment, because a lot of people automatically go straight to medication. And medication's a gift. We know that a lot of people are really benefited by taking medication. We also know there are people out there taking medication who probably shouldn't be on it. But talk to us about the advances in medication and how it plays into your treatment protocols out there. I'm reminded of what Frank Minrith, pioneering Christian psychiatrist, once told me. Tim, medication's a gift, but the one thing it can't give you is hope. Only Christ can give you hope.
I really like that. And that is a very true statement. So medication, there are some good advances in medication, and our doctors and psychiatrists and advanced nurse practitioners, we are assessing I'll tell you the trend that we're seeing. People are coming in 4 or 5 medications, and they're saying something's not working. And so have layers of medication, what we're finding is probably not all that helpful. So our doctors are doing more of sorting out and refining because there is the mentality of that magic pill. I need the pill that's going to solve everything. And I understand that despair, but a pill doesn't solve everything, but it can be a great help for a period of time if we're using the right medication for the right reasons.
Greg, I know we're battling time here. When do I need to seek out help? Number one. And then number two, when do I need to look at maybe a facility like the Center, a Place of Hope?
Sure.
That you run.
Excellent question, Kabis. There's a time where we have suffered and it's been 3 months, 6 months, and you realize, oh, I'm isolating, I'm pulling away from people, I'm secretly eating, I'm secretly drinking, and my coping mechanisms are destructive. And I need to make a change, because if I continue this, I will enter into this zone of despondency and my thinking gets way off to be a better off if I'm not even alive. So what we hear more is, oh, I wish I would have done something a lot sooner. So my word of encouragement is, you may not even know no, it's impossible. I can't ever do anything, but find out. Find out what options could be there. Make sure you have the right plan to treat the level of depression that you may be experiencing. Sometimes we really do need to enter into quite a supportive environment and have experts help us to really discern what do I need to do. So don't wait too long.
Hope thou in God, the psalmist said. Greg, your faith is at the center and the heart of all that you do.
Absolutely.
It's because when you believe God is there and he's in the midst of it and that his heart is toward you and that he will help you get through this.
That's right.
Greg, that's the game changer for people who are desperate for help and hope. Greg, closing thought from you on the significance of anchoring ourselves in Christ.
Well, the foundation from all of our work is it's got to be everything grows out of our faith in Christ. And we don't want to do anything that's inconsistent with the scriptures. And I can tell you, you may feel like you've been praying a long time and nothing's changing. Let's keep that foundation, because that's going to be, we know and we're humbled that God could use us to help bring about healing, but we know where the healing comes from.
Greg, if people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
Simply aplaceofhope.com. aplaceofhope.com.
Hey, on behalf of Zach, our entire team here at the AACC, Greg, we salute you. You know that, and we appreciate your firm commitment to mental health, especially from a Christ-centered perspective. Thank you so much for joining us.
So good to be with you.
As we close today, I want to just say something to everyone listening. Greg Jantz was a dear friend, a brilliant mind, a doctor who impacted literally thousands of people throughout his career. And even though he left us suddenly in July, I know he's at home in heaven. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Trust is like glass. Once broken, it can be rebuilt, but it takes time, truth, and tenderness. Rebuilding trust, especially after betrayal, is one of the hardest emotional tasks. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit." Clinically, trust restoration follows a pattern. honesty, consistency, empathy, and accountability. But it also requires mutual participation. Forgiveness can be instant, but trust is earned. So don't rush what God designed to be rebuilt slowly. Give space for evidence and not just promises. If you're in the process of rebuilding trust, identify one clear, healthy boundary and one way to communicate your needs with clarity and grace this week. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.